It's the 10 to 1 podcast with your host, Brad Owen, featuring Ben Conowitz and Nate Laux. And here's the podcast.
Hello, friends, and welcome back. It's good to have our friend and colleague, Ben Conowitz, back after not doing anything for a long time.
Vagabend Conowitz.
Remy Youssef, let's talk about him.
We already did that.
What, you did?
Yeah.
When? No,
it was a hit.
It was our finest episode yet. People wrote in, they were like, it felt like it was a lot more professional and focused and organized. Somehow funnier.
Yeah. It was like, there was just an air of excellence is what I heard.
Yeah, but professionalism. Sexual charisma was oozing through the mics.
And a lot of tension. A lot of sexual tension.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's is odd. I mean, it's just like it oozes out of
I think it's mostly just because we have such animalistic instincts.
I don't like any of this.
Rare.
Kristen mother flipping wig.
Yes, we are back with another new episode. This is the second of three back-to-back episodes.
It's just how they do it nowadays.
Kristen Wiig, former cast member, came back to host the episode, and this was her fifth time hosting, so it was a big deal, and they made a big deal out of it, and they had some fun. But before we get to that, Nate.
Yeah.
Let's dig in and have some fun.
All right, let's dig in. TBS March Madness Cold Open, written by Dan Bulla, Sridhar Seidel, and Brian Tucker. Charles Barkley, played by Kenan Thompson. Ernie Johnson, played by James Austin Johnson. And Kenny Smith, played by Devin Walker, discuss March Madness 2024. So this sketch existed.
Hey, here's the thing.
It wasn't political.
That's maybe the best thing that we could have asked for. I'm glad they didn't do something that was tied to any of the headlines that happened throughout the week. Didn't need the political satire.
The Northern and Southern.
Just by default, this was better because
it didn't
have to like waste.
It wasn't
my time.
The formula.
Yep. Yeah. This wasn't like a laugh out loud hilarious sketch. It had its moments. You know, I liked bits and pieces. But
it tried.
Yeah, they did their best. I feel like they probably would have benefited by going more absurd with it, doing something that felt like, you know, more conceptual comedically. That feels like it's usually their biggest problem when they're doing stuff that is like timely and tied to headlines, is that they stayed too strictly to like the actual subject matter and don't take it into a like too much of a funnier area.
There wasn't enough silliness in this. I needed a little bit more silliness for it to. It was just like little quips about contemporary stuff.
The funniest thing was Charles Barkley not knowing what he was talking about, you know,
which is always fun.
I also want to say, because I want to give him some props for another great impression. James Austin Johnson does a fantastic Ernie Johnson, and that
he's
is
got the cadence down.
Yes,
for sure.
And you might not know what Ernie Johnson sounds like if you don't watch basketball, but it is on it. He is so good at that one. What did you think of this one, Benny?
Kenny the Jet Smith. Kenny and the Jet, like they're gonna. I'm trying something. I don't know. That's the best.
To be fair, you have to keep it within the realm of like what they would say as people.
But like you said, but why? You just start there and get a little bit more?
But that was something that was supposed to be like cheesy, funny. Like it was like supposed to be more of a making fun of like him for saying that than actually being a real proper joke, right?
That's fair, I guess.
What are you bitching about?
I don't know. Kenny the Jet Smith is replaceable to me on that show. Like I've watched that show enough where I'm like, he is still allowed to be here.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, I think your frustration is more with.
Yeah, you're talking about the real show.
Yeah. And it's just
maybe I was just wishing they would have made fun of him like that. Like Kenny the Jet Smith, don't know why I'm here.
I will say Devin Walker not had a great season.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a featured player. He's still kind of cutting
his
teeth.
There, but like
he definitely hasn't stood out as much as the other featured players.
Marcelo Hernandez rise, right? Yeah. By the way, which cast member, regular cast member, was not on this episode?
Which regular cast member was not on
Punky
this episode?
Johnson. No, Punky Johnson.
No, she was there.
There's one cast member that was not the Please Don't Destroy guys, but
was it Ego?
No.
Nope, she was there.
Oh yeah, she was there in the last one.
Michael Longfellow?
Correct. Michael Longfellow was not there, or he was not in any sketches. I didn't check and see if he was at the at the goodbyes
wearing the five-timer jacket like everybody else was.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, wow.
Maybe he was shooting a movie.
Maybe, or TV I mean, show? It happened not long ago. Punky Johnson, or no.
Molly Carney.
Molly Carney. They were not featured prevalently in the last episode. But
prevalently?
Prevalent?
What the fuck? Are you making up words now?
It's predominantly evident. Prevalently. Never heard that word?
Absinertly.
No, they were they at the Good Nights though?
Yeah, they were there.
Okay. So Longfellow, we're not sure if he was at the.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention. I didn't even realize that he wasn't there.
That sounds so insulting.
It's not meant to be.
This fucking guy who cares if he's
But honestly, and we'll get to this as we get into the show. It's mostly because of how many guest stars they had.
It was hard to keep track. Honestly,
yeah. Michael Longfellow got bumped for a list of really great celebrities. Yeah, exactly.
Michael Longfellow just saw how many people. He's like, you know what? I'm not coming in, guys.
I'm gonna sit this one out, guys. It's fine. I'm fine.
Take a couple plays off here.
All right, moving on. Kristen Wiig, Five Timers monologue, written by Mike DiCenzo, Jake Norblin, Ken Sublett, and Kristen Wiig. Kristen Wiig celebrates her fifth time hosting Saturday Night Live by taking some questions from audience members, including Paul Rudd, Paul Appel, Matt Damon, and more. Let's. I've got a question for you. Which former SNL cast members are part of the Five Timers Club?
Chevy Chase.
Correct.
Dan Aykroyd?
No.
Oh. He's always the bartender. Yeah,
he's the bartender. Correct. Damn it.
Yeah. Candace Bergen?
No.
She was not a cast member? She's a five-timer.
She's a five-timer.
She wasn't a cast member.
Oh, I thought she was.
No, she's a host. Yeah, she just hosts a lot.
She's just hosted a ton.
Yeah, she's like Steve Martin in that way. Exactly. I always forget.
Yep. Kristen Wiig?
That is now the fifth.
Yep. Yep, you're welcome. I'm going to say that...
I mean, you guys are missing...
Tina Fey.
Correct. That's two.
And
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell's three. One more. Yep.
And let's go
you
with...
You guys are missing an obvious one.
Adam Sandler?
No, he's only hosted like once.
Yeah.
We'll just cut this so we sound very smart.
No, just tell us.
Bill Murray.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
All right. So there was a lot of stars in this one. I loved this. It was so much fun because this is what I want a Five Timers monologue to be, right? Yeah. All the people come back. They're having fun. You see also, what I loved about it as well, you see Kristen Wiig's friends there. Yeah. And so you know they're celebrating with her off stage.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of fun with this. What'd you guys think?
No, of course. It was, and you know, Paul Rudd, bless him, he got basically like two redemptions for not having a proper five-timers when they had to cancel because of the Omicron surge when he was supposed to be properly five-timers.
Yeah.
Then he got his real one with like Steve Martin and stuff, and then he gets to do this bonus one with even more people. So.
He's always so happy. That's why I love Paul Rudd. He's just always so chipper.
He was great. And then when Matt Damon stood up, in my head I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that he was a five-timer.
Was that?
And then I was like, oh, fuck, he's not at all. I'm an idiot.
Did you guys feel like the two times Matt Damon was in this, he kind of flubbed his lines twice?
He had two lines that he flubbed. He recovered nicely. But
he recovered fine. But it was like I wonder if he was nervous.
I mean, he hasn't done it in a long time. I think so. Yeah, it would make sense.
Man, also Paul Rudd was there.
Yeah, it's true, and he looks better than Matt Damon.
Big shoes to fill.
So yeah, John Hamm, Fred Armisen, Will Forte were all there. Martin Short popped in as well.
Ryan Gosling.
They made Lorne Michaels laugh.
They did. Lorne had to look away. Yeah. Which I love.
Gosling's on next week, right?
Yep.
So he's already
just showed up early.
He's just hanging out.
He's like, oh, I thought this was my week.
Yeah. He likes to be prepared.
Gosh darn though, that you're right though. That's the kind of thing you want to see. It's a who's who. It's people that aren't the same from before, because obviously Matt Damon being there and John Hamm, you know, Paul Rudd. It's a new infusion of people to help her celebrate. I loved it.
Yeah, it was superb.
So Matt Damon and Kristen Wiig worked together in The Martian. Did they work together in anything else?
The shrinking one, right?
Downsizing.
Downsizing?
Yeah. Isn't Matt Damon in that?
Matt Damon is in that. He's the lead.
Kristen Wiig's in that, though? I didn't know.
I'm pretty sure she's his wife in that, isn't she?
She backs out of the last second.
Yep.
And then he shrinks and then she doesn't.
Yeah. So, story of my life.
Also, weird. Because this...
My penis.
Okay.
All right. So, Paul Appel is a longtime writer at SNL.
Yes.
close friend to Kristen Wiig.
Yes.
And she's got a show on, and I wanted you to push this because you watch this, right? Girls
yes.
Five Eva?
Yes.
Is it as funny as people are saying it is?
Yeah, I mean, it's in the same vein as 30 Rock because it's created by Robert Carlock and executive produced by Robert Carlock and Tina Fey, and then also created by Meredith Scardino, who did work on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and Great News as well.
That's a great, those are some great shows.
Yeah, they are. They're fantastic. And so it's not quite as funny as 30 Rock, but like 30 Rock is like my favorite comedy of all time, basically. So like that's just a high bar to meet. But it is very funny, and she's fantastic.
Paula Pell is a legend at SNL.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if everyone that watches this understands how incredible
she used to pop up all the time, even though she was never a cast member, but like she was a writer.
She was like the writer that they would use if they wanted somebody else that wasn't a cast member and they kind of just needed a somebody, but they didn't need an applause break for that person.
Exactly.
But man, she is just so freaking funny. Jim Downey is like the male counterpart to me.
For sure. Absolutely.
If
you haven't watched Girls Forever and you like aren't aware of who Paula Pell is, you've seen her pop up because she's guest starring a bunch of shows. She played Ron Swanson's mother on Parks and Recreation.
That's right.
And she's had little guest spots in a lot of TV shows over the years.
I bet you it would be just fucking fascinating to see everything she's done as far as just unwritten punch-ups.
Oh, yeah.
And like helping out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guarantee you the list is a mile long.
Yeah.
Like she's just so good.
All right, moving on. Jumanji, a group of friends played by Bowen Yang, Ego Wodum, Chloe Fineman, Andrew Dismukes, meet their friends, James Austin Johnson, new girlfriend, Kristen Wiig. This was fantastic.
This was
It was so good.
This was like old SNL for me. This was so funny, unique.
I
wanted Will Ferrell to be in this and just bring the guys back.
It felt like it came straight out of like the mid-2000s.
Which was just a sweet spot.
Everybody
for me.
Saying the word Jumanji in the way that they were saying. Dismukes was it was a masterclass of him
he
saying.
He was incredible.
He was perfect in this. I can't imagine anybody else doing it better. Are you saying you're going to get Jumanji'd in or Jumanji'd out?
It almost reminded us of a conversation you guys, the three of us, would have before we record about something really dumb. But it was fantastic. Dismukes just escalated this so well. I did not see that one coming.
It's not
intensity,
it's two different layers of, and technically three layers of jokes too. Because you have Kristen Wiig playing straight about having this genuine fear of being Jumanji'd. And then
it's just a funny concept.
Right. And then briefly you have the disagreement like, wait a minute, which Jumanji are we talking about? Because I saw it and it was a video game that they got sucked into.
And then it's like, don't you dare say that that's the Jumanji. You all know Robin Williams Jumanji is the original Jumanji.
And then of course you have the Jumanji blender of like explaining like, no, you're going to get sucked into Jumanji or are you getting Jumanji out?
It just speaks I want to say he was so good. It was just so funny.
And then that's not even talking about the surprise, Will Forte.
Where it really becomes Ticket to Ride Jumanji. Exactly. It's so good. This is a perfect bit as far as escalation and hat on a hat, but done in the right way. Oh gosh, I'm so big fan of this sketch.
Loved it.
It did make me a little nostalgic and reminded me a little bit of, because also the uniqueness of the sketch, it just felt different than, because we went to more absurdist humor now, right? Which is still funny. We love it. But this was just a simple sketch that was just pulled off perfectly.
The last time that I saw this was the beep beep. I'm a little car coming through with the Thanksgiving. Yep. It kind of reminded me of that because the escalations on beep beep.
Yeah,
I'm a car. And they all take it very seriously. And obviously, in this sketch, they start taking the Jumanji thing very seriously.
I was also reminded of the Weezer sketch.
All right, moving on. Pilates, written by Rosebud Baker, Chloe Fineman, Jimmy Fowley, and Sierra O'Sullivan. Two women, played by Chloe Fineman and Molly Carney, try a Pilates class for the first time. This was a pre-tape.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you guys think of this? I mean, it was fine to me.
Yeah, I thought it was solid. If anything, is good style. Solid editing. They really nailed the vibe of like a horror movie trailer, especially like a certain kind of horror movie trailer with like the neon tinges and whatnot. But there wasn't really a lot of meat on the bone comedically. Like it's amusing. I get to talk about Pilates in a way of like, because it is kind of this terrifying exercise.
It's also a world I don't understand. So there may have been more humor in there than I understood.
Do you think that they took umbrage with the person that said that there was no hot women that have ever been on SNL, and then Kristen Wiig comes up like, I'll show you something.
Yeah, we're going to put all the women in form-fitting aerobics gear. Yeah.
No, not just that, but Kristen Wiig has aged so perfect. She's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, she's one of the funniest human beings that's ever lived.
We did talk about that last week. But
she's gorgeous. She is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous.
Dumb take. It was dumb take.
It's a dumb take.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she just watching her in a couple of the sketches tonight, I was like, my God, I didn't realize she was that in shape. Good for you, Kristen Wiig.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right. Recurring sketch coming up, Secretaries, written by Mike DiCenzo, Heidi Gardner, Jimmy Fowley, Jake Norman, and Carol Sullivan. Two secretaries, played by Kristen Wiig and Heidi Gardner, help a lawyer, played by John Hamm, take on a new client, played by Bowen Yang. This first appeared in October 14th of last year, the episode with Pete Davidson as host. What did you guys think of this one, adding Kristen Wiig to it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I would not have anticipated this to become a recurring sketch. In the least, but it was appropriate that they used John Hamm in this one since it has that Mad Men vibe to it. But yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I thought
Kristen Wiig does the Heidi Gardner thing there really well as
for sure, for sure. And I think that this is a rare instance where the sketch actually benefited from a failure of the props.
Absolutely,
because it was infinitely funnier watching Kristen Wiig struggle to make the desk break properly,
and then watching Heidi Gardner's like
try and bust through the wall.
But then the globe comes off.
Yeah.
And so she's just kind of sitting there and laughing her ass off. And then you cut back to Hamm.
Yeah.
And he's dying with Wiig trying not to. Oh my God. Them trying not to laugh while kind of being posing like they're going to kiss. That's so funny. Yeah. And it only happens because, like you said,
it's the failures of the props.
So good.
Because it was so physical in their comedy. That's when the laughter on SNL from the cast members is the best.
Yeah.
It's
because
palpable.
They're just having a fun time with these kind of
problems. And it just goes to show you how dainty Kristen Wiig and Heidi Gardner are. They couldn't even bust through styrofoam furniture desks properly.
Yeah. I don't think any of us in this room right now would struggle.
No.
No. In fact, they probably wouldn't make stronger furniture because
they were like, let's get the normal props, but like add a 2x4 because Conowitz is going to lean into it.
Yeah. And trust me, it's still going to break.
It's still going to break. Don't worry. I did laugh really hard for some reason when he got the sandwich from between their butts. He goes, this tastes like ass. I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking he was going to say, but I don't know. I don't know that it was that, you know?
Although I do hope I can in the future order a drink on the racks.
That was really great. No, it was funny enough. And then the failure of the props was tremendous. Really helped the sketch.
Another recurring sketch, Retirement Party, written by Stephen Castillo and Colin Jost. Things go off the rails when speeches are made at a man's retirement party. That man is Kenan Thompson, who does the perfect look into the camera of shock, right? Of this isn't me kind of thing. What did you guys think of this sketch?
Well, this is a recurring sketch, not in like, as in like carrying over any characters, right?
No, Colin Jost has written this sketch before.
It's a familiar formula.
Yeah, yeah, those two have written this.
They're celebrating somebody.
Or it's a funeral.
Exactly.
A cast of characters grab the mic.
Right.
So it's recurring in the setup, in the comedy, and all these kind of things.
But yeah, I like it because the funniest parts about the sketch are when you know whoever's coming up. By the third time, you know they're going to grab the mic, right?
Yep.
And so then it's like, how are they going to go about grabbing the mic to me? Mikey Day's playfulness with each one of them, that I look forward to the next one every single time. It's great.
And there's like, you get to have the visual gags along with like the jokes of like when you finally see the characters too, because like just seeing Kristen Wiig walk up with the oxygen.
I started laughing immediately.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have like little gems too, like I'm the step nephew of the event coordinator.
And that's a character Will Forte has done a couple of times, like just that voice.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even remember, I can't place him when, but I definitely, he's done that character before.
Yeah. It's great when you have not just the big cast, but you have all these guest stars who can come through, you know, so you get Paul Rudd in there.
I'm Hollywood actor Matt Damon.
Right. That Matt Damon playing himself was a really great bit to have this. And this is a long sketch, too. This was like a 7.5 minute sketch.
It felt long. It felt like it could have been about a minute shorter, but it wasn't bad.
You weren't having fun, Nate?
It was fine. It just...
Oh.
It just
fine. It was fine.
Just fine. It was fine for Nate.
Again,
you don't have a little chuckle.
I chuckled.
You didn't laugh.
I chuckled.
Or have any Snickers?
You go far a bit.
No chortles.
I chuckled. Okay, I chuckled, guys.
No, it's fine. No.
Okay. Well, what's next?
Me and Ben appreciate comedy.
What's next is a comment that I need to make about you right now. Last week.
Okay.
Last week, Brad and I hosted this.
I know this happened.
By ourselves. And we got to the weekend update, and it was time to do the barometer. And we did the barometer, and Brad picked 73. I picked 70. It's the closest I've ever been.
It's because I wasn't here.
It may have been because you weren't there. I think you're just a bad omen for me.
No, it's Brad Omen.
Okay. So today, we're going to do it again, and if I win, then the curse is over.
Okay.
So the barometer is a number that Brad comes up with between 0 and 100 that denotes the connection that the two hosts have during the weekend update, Michael Che and Colin Jost. It is about the spiritual and mental and physical and sexual chemistry that they have during it. It is not necessarily about the jokes, though the jokes certainly are going to feed into their chemistry. I hope by this point, we're like 62 episodes into this podcast, you know what the barometer is. So, Brad, we have him write it down now because we didn't ever
trust that he wasn't just changing his answer.
Because I benefit a lot from the lie. I mean,
it's true. Yeah. You make us look bad.
Yeah, you make us look bad.
And you get to win.
I make you look bad.
So I'm going to start with you, Benny.
82.
You like this?
Yeah.
I did too. Yeah.
I'm holding up his hand for the high five. That's direct interaction.
I'm going to go with 84.
Brad?
Brad Ummer?
Guys are feeling overzealous.
What?
Yeah, I went with 75.
Oh, that's dumb.
Not dumb.
No, this was good. This was good.
No, it was good. It was fun. They were fine.
But you're saying essentially it was the same as last week.
I mean, it essentially was like there. It was like a tiny bit more because of the high five moment. You're right that will definitely raise the score a little bit, but otherwise there wasn't much back and forth between them. There wasn't a lot of acknowledgement of each other. Like I like when they're
Colin Jost showed a picture of Michael Che.
Yeah, that's a
as
joke.
The punchline to a joke.
That's a joke about Michael Che, but there wasn't much that came from that between them. Honestly, Michael Che's reaction. Like they just moved on quickly. I really dig the moments when like. They make each other laugh. They take jabs at each other. They're looking at each other a lot. Like you want them to feel like they're friends, not coworkers.
Okay, but I'm just questioning the scientific validity of the barometer anymore.
There's no scientific validity whatsoever.
Well, then why are we doing this podcast?
I think about that every time we sit down here and record.
All right, let's talk about the weekend update as a whole. Weekend update anchors Colin Jost and Michael Che tackle the week's biggest news, like the women's NCAA Final Four matchup of Iowa versus UConn, becoming the most viewed women's basketball game with 14.2 million viewers. What did you guys think of the jokes? Anything you really liked?
I knew that Michael Che was going to do something sexist about the female tournament, and he did, and it was funny.
Yep.
You know, I expected it though.
Yep.
The high five joke was great. I laughed very hard at that.
It was.
Brad
it was,
seemed to not like it.
Brad didn't like it as much, but that's okay.
I thought it was very funny.
No, I mean, not that funny.
Not that funny, though.
I like jokes.
You like Jost?
Jokest.
All right, let's move on to the bits, because I think we got something to talk about here.
Let's give him something to talk about.
This is not Go Fix Yourself.
Let's give him something to figure out.
Talking about bits.
Love, bits.
I don't know what you guys are wanting out of this, but I don't think you guys...
You're not going to get it.
Like, I don't think we want the same thing.
It's not for you, Nate.
All right, weekend update bit, earthquake and eclipse on the 4.2 magnitude earthquake and the solar eclipse. Earthquake played by Marcelo Hernandez and eclipse played by Kenan Thompson. Stop by weekend update to discuss the earthquake that shook the northeast and the solar eclipse. I will say again, Marcelo Hernandez is having a breakout year. He's doing very, very well as a cast member and becoming an integral part of this cast moving forward, I think.
Yes.
I love anytime they do a cutout of a character where they're showing his face, and like the costume is just Kenan Thompson's face in the center of an eclipse.
It took me a second to see what it was.
It's silly and it's fun.
Oh, duh. Of course it's the eclipse. But for a second there, I was like, what is that?
I love Marcelo Hernandez's costume.
The bobblehead shake stuff is great.
I thought that was really funny. What did you guys think?
Yeah, it was really fun. It's I was kind of reminded of the Chris Farley El Nino sketch, because they obviously turned into like a big wrestling face-off promo, which was a lot of fun having them go at each other and then decide to team up. So yeah, it was a solid bit. You know, it's not like, you know, an all-time great or anything like that, but you know, the watching Kenan and Marcelo go at it together was a lot of fun.
It was why do you gotta put a level on it like that?
It wasn't an all-time great.
No, just say how good
it's
it
not,
was.
It's not in the top five to ever. Not in the top five ever.
Why take away from them?
I just don't want to make it sound like I'm over the moon for this one.
Oh boy!
But it was good. It was fun. Did you like
it? Yes, it was great.
I'm not eclipsing this one.
I love that Kenan and Marcelo were having fun with it. Like it was. I don't know. What do you want from this cast?
Marcelo Hernandez coming in was enough. I was laughing already.
Yep.
And then bringing Kenan in and then making it the wrestling thing. It was great escalation too.
Ben, do you agree though? Marcelo Hernandez is becoming an integral part of this cast.
He really is. I mean, he's fit in so well.
Yeah, I agree. I don't.
But how do you feel about his presence in the cast?
Hey Ben, do we have to like keep Brad's mic on?
If he keeps saying such dumb shit, I say no. But for
let's give him something to talk about.
Speaking of Aunt Linda on the latest hit movie. Speaking of Brad, written by Paul Appel and Kristen Wiig. Mm-hmm. Aunt Linda, played by Kristen Wiig, stops by Weekend Update to discuss her takes on the latest hit movies like Barbie and Oppenheimer. My friend Bradford Oman is a film critic in real life.
Well, I don't like to paint myself with that brush, but
cool.
I mean, but you are.
No, I'm not. I am not like primarily a film critic.
Oh my gosh.
I write about movies and
here's
TV.
His resume, ladies and gentlemen. I guess we're gonna let you hear what Brad does. But
like,
for
I don't review nearly as much as I do other things. So like, I'm not primarily a film critic. Like, there's a reason we have a chief film critic.
Do you review films ever?
But that's not the only thing that I do.
Oh my god.
That'd be like Nate, if I would call you a Bible reader.
Except I am that. I would say I am.
Yes, but not that's not my job title though.
Okay, but I called you a film critic and you said you could have said yeah I am.
No, I honestly don't like calling myself a film critic though. I genuinely never have, because I don't write a lot of reviews and I don't.
It's because he has shitty opinions and other film critics are like, wow man, you're representing all of us. You know that, right?
You know what?
And he goes, no, I'm not a film critic.
I like Brad's opinions.
Hey, you know, I'm gonna give Ben's comments a big oh brother, and also five fuck yous.
All right. What did you guys think of this? It was obviously being brought back. It had started, I looked it up. This had started in like 2010, maybe, or no, 2006. And she did this six times on Weekend Update. Obviously, an important recurring character for Kristen Wiig. Did you like that they brought this one back?
I was surprised they brought it back, honestly, because it's not like... it was never a standout character for me. I remember the character and it was always fun, you know, when she would do it. But it's not one that I would have thought that, you know, it would have
been one of her more prominent ones.
Yeah, exactly. Especially since they didn't like really go out of their way to make it super topical. You know, she's talking about Barbie and Oppenheimer, you know, from like summer movies from last year. And it's almost summer now. So, but no, I still enjoyed, you know, I like seeing Kristen Wiig as this character. My favorite part is always the different measurements that she comes up with, you know, each time. So that was a lot of fun.
Four.
Yeah.
What'd you think of it, Benny?
Yeah, no, I was wondering what thing they were going to bring back from Kristen Wiig. I thought that maybe they might have done the Lawrence Welk show because
that would have been fun.
Because Fred was there. And also they've got some really talented singers now on the show.
Yep.
And so I thought maybe they would do that. But yeah, I mean, I guess I'm like, yeah, I guess that's one you could do. Like, I like it, but also Kristen Wiig had so many characters. I wonder why. I'm more curious than anything else.
I mean, they've done other ones since she's come back to host. Sure. You know, I mean, it's her fifth time hosting, so like you don't need to do the big ones every time.
Maybe because also Paul Appel was there and she co-writes this one with her, so maybe
also. That's true. Have you guys seen that Kristen Wiig is actually doing Target commercials as Target lady now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Is that her?
Yeah.
I didn't know if because they don't really show her face.
At the very end, at the very end, they do. I think the campaign is just starting because I saw the same thing and I was like, oh, they're making it seem like it's Target lady, but they're not showing Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she's like, yeah, Target Circle days.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So she's really doing it.
So she needs some money.
She did Wonder Woman 1984. I think she's doing fine. Yeah,
and that's why she needs the money.
All right. On a sketch a little on the nose for old Nate Laux, parents played by Kristen Wiig and James Austin Johnson distract the kids played by Andrew Smith and Chloe Trost from some bad news by letting him ride the go-karts at an amusement park. Guys, what do you think was the news they were going to share?
I mean, I imagine it was...
It sounded like a divorce.
An earthquake.
So I went to the Wisconsin Dells with Ashley and her two boys.
Ben's girlfriend.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. And so they were... the kids were over with Ashley. We were watching... They were playing in the other room. We were watching SNL. And the go-kart sketch comes out. And Ashley's like, oh, boys, come in. And I'm like, why? No, don't.
Why would you do that?
Well, we thought it was going to be more like a, you know, like a hand gets cut off and blood goes every, you know, like one of the more silly sketches.
Oh, one of the good things for kids.
And the boys are just crying.
They're fine. They're 7 and 9. They love that stuff. So, but as soon as they started saying stuff, she's like, okay, it's an adult one. You guys can go back in the other room. And then her oldest is like, but I want to know what the bad thing is.
That's
funny. It was great.
Sometimes mommy and daddy don't love each other anymore.
Now, let's just say that there was a pool.
Now, Nate, you said this was on the nose. Can you explain more?
So, Brad, what did you think of this one?
No, I thought it was pretty good. I will say I felt a little frustrated that they didn't escalate it to the point of revealing what the bad thing was. Yep. It's that old thing of, like, if you're going to introduce a bomb in the first act, it better go off in the third
act. Exactly.
Agreed. And so I was a little disappointed that they didn't reach that point.
Especially
since they set it up with the Sheila call.
Right.
Like, why not have Sheila show up? Why not have it be something that is more absurd than you would possibly think? Yep. You know, pay that off. Yep. That would be my biggest criticism. Otherwise, the way James Austin Johnson and Kristen Wiig play this is so good. This is a, like, kind of like a subsect of characters that Kristen Wiig was always good at playing, like this very subdued, forlorn kind of mom who's just talking in a very matter-of-fact way.
Somewhat passive-aggressive,
You know what? We're gonna talk about it later.
Yeah, and I did love that we talked about this last week.
Oh, what'd you talk about?
In that there are certain SNL sketches where a punchline can come from a well-timed cut to something that you didn't know was there. And it's a joke that really only exists for people who are watching on TV because that character pretty much has to be there on set before that cut happens.
Yep.
And they had another one here where you have Chloe Trost sitting in the go-kart as the birthday girl. Yeah.
They cut there and it's like, oh my God, it's her birthday?
Yeah.
And I do think I have heard people do stuff like this.
And that's crazy to me.
Yeah,
right?
Where like we want to have one last good day as a family before we tell them. Like, why would you do that?
Because then, as you get a little older, like, wait, what the fuck was that trip to the Dells? Yeah. Was that? Oh my! They knew the whole time.
Yeah, like we want to just have one more.
Wait a minute.
Good. And like,
what the?
Is that why we got ice cream every day?
All right, moving on. Final sketch of the night, La Maison du Bang, written by Chloe Feynman, Kara O'Sullivan, and Brian Tucker. Sonic Pioneers takes a look back at the French music variety show La Maison du Bang, featuring Tippy Tornado, or Tippy Tornade.
Yeah, hey, get it right.
Yeah.
Tippy Tornade.
Played by Kristen Wiig.
Another great looking outfit. I'm a big fan.
Calm down.
Listen, she's gorgeous.
Okay.
But did you guys know that this was previously cut? They had made this with the Timothy Chalamet episode.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that.
Was he Tippy Tornad?
Probably. Honestly, he probably could have been. Like,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. So they could have done something like that. So this was a recycled sketch. How do you think it played out with Kristen Wiig starring in it?
So Kristen Wiig is enjoyable in the sketch. What she's doing with her body is very funny, the way she's dancing. The sketch overall, to me, was only mildly amusing, though.
I thought the same way.
I did like the absurdity of, like, the French variety show and the fact that they did do it all in French. There was some great production design. You know, I liked the framework in which it was created.
I was waiting for the thing.
Yeah, I was waiting for, like, a bigger punchline.
Well, what, the smoking six-year-old wasn't enough for you?
That was very funny. I did like that bit.
You use that joke at the beginning.
That was right to start it off.
Yeah, it didn't really feel like it ever went anywhere,
you know? And I also, I didn't like the absurdity of the final punchline. Like, it felt like they were like, how do we end this? Oh, let's just have her appear.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it broke the logic of the confines of the sketch for me. Yep. And so, like, it'd be like having the classic movie characters appear next to Reese DeWitt suddenly, you know? It's just like, don't break that barrier.
Reese who?
Reese DeWitt.
Reese DeWitt!
There you go. Get it right or don't say it at all.
But yeah, so it was fine. I honestly wish, because it does have the vibe of a 10-to-1 sketch, but I almost wish they would have pushed it up early in the show and did the retirement one later. But I feel like they probably didn't because they had that big star lineup and you want that up earlier in the show because people are going to, you know, leave before the end of the episode. Probably.
This just felt like a sketch that needed just a little more work done to it, and it could have been something. There was a missing punchline in there. Or just rework some of the things. Maybe bring the smoking 6-year-old a little bit towards, like, escalate with that one. Because again, I saw that, I'm like, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then I kept on waiting to one up that. It was funny, but it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Agreed.
When you guys were kids watching SNL, did you ever dream of being a kid on one of those sketches?
No.
I did.
Did it ever happen?
Yeah.
Which one?
I'm one of the Coneheads.
All right. Well, that is the episode. Let's talk a little bit about details. In general, what did you think was Kristen Wiig in this?
Yeah, I mean, she was great. She's like, she's home whenever she's back on SNL. Yeah. You know, she's comfortable. She fits in with whoever the cast is. She's having a good time.
And as longtime fans, it's just nostalgic, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I just miss.
You feel like everyone brings their A game whenever someone like this comes back around. Too,
it does.
You
know? Doesn't it seem like, I know I'm reading between the lines here, but doesn't it look like even the other cast, the current cast, has more fun?
Yeah,
when they have an old veteran there.
It's because of the timing thing. They're not waiting because the host fucks up the timing more than anything else. And so when you've got a dedicated sketch performer like Kristen Wiig that knows timing, every sketch is elevated.
Yeah, when you're wide receiver,
you feel comfortable.
Yeah, and you're a wide receiver and you see Tom Brady's coming. Exactly. You're like, this is great.
Yeah,
I cannot
wait to play today.
Yeah, exactly. You
know. Okay. Travis Kelce's friend.
Is he one of the Brady Bunch?
Yep.
That's cool.
Yep.
All right, so let's go. Let's start with sketch of the night because we're gonna save MVP.
Jumanji,
yeah, Jumanji.
That's the one I picked too.
Yeah, of course, because it's the best sketch of the night.
But, let's go MVP then. What'd you guys think?
Andrew Mukes. Really? Yeah, good job. What'd you think, Nate?
I feel like I shouldn't pick this.
No, you can't.
Was that what you were gonna pick? Yeah, because I loved him so much in the Jumanji.
Yeah, sketch. He was great. He was great in that, and he was also great in
him teaming up with James Dustin Johnson in the Les Maisons.
That was good.
And he was also in the go karts.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah, I thought he had a good episode. I thought, you know, I thought Kristen Wiig was really good too.
Yeah.
So I would certainly.
I was with that. But because she's an ex cast member, I was expecting that. Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't think I have anything else for this episode. We have another new episode coming out next week. Who's the host, Brett?
Ryan Gosling is going to be back. Nate spoiled it last time. He just let everybody know.
Do you guys kind of find him really handsome? Because I do.
I think he's gross, honestly. Like, there's something about his face that's just not handsome enough.
I want to touch him.
I would open mouth kiss him on a Ferris wheel.
I would. Wouldn't even need to be at the top where people can see.
Wouldn't even need to be on lips either.
This has been Go Touch Yourself.
I love Ryan Gosling. I'm very excited to have him come back and host.
He's great. He's great.
He's just a treasure. And
I love just cutting back to some of these guest stars. John Hamm saying, like, third time was in 2010. Just wait for that fourth call. Yeah. Like, that was really funny. I hope he gets it. You know?
Yeah.
I want to see John Hamm back again.
We talked about this last week, but Ryan Gosling has only hosted twice. So
this will be a third time?
Yeah. And he hasn't hosted since 2017. So it's good to have him back.
Yeah. This is
it. It really is. It's going to be awesome, and I cannot wait.
Do you expect to see any guest stars with Ryan Gosling?
I wouldn't be surprised if they have Emily Blunt pop in, because especially since they're promoting The Fall Guy coming up. I feel like that would make sense. But they could easily. It depends on how many episodes they have after this. I don't know if they'll be able to fit in another three to end the season, or if they'll
just do
two. Because they could have her host before the end of the. Of the year, maybe.
Sure.
But I don't know. I did want to throw out some.
They might not last year. They only did 18 episodes last year?
Because of the strike.
Oh, that's right. All right.
Yeah, because there were supposed to be three more.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So usually they do three, the first, the second, and the third week of May.
Yeah.
So that,
yeah, because there's always a Mother's Day.
Yeah, so they should. We should get three more episodes after this one, right?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
If not, I'll be upset. I want to give a quick shout out to direct some people over to something that I've been enjoying lately. It's not a new thing, but it's new to me.
Snickers.
I jumped on it.
It's a chocolate bar that you get to eat, and it's pretty good.
Yeah. Thanks, Ben. No. So there's this podcast called The Good One that's hosted by Jesse David Fox, who is a journalist at Vulture. He's a an entertainment writer like me, not a film critic.
I told Brad about this podcast years ago.
Did you really?
Legitimately did.
Well, because I know you like Jesse David Fox.
Yes.
And I thought it was just because of his writing.
No, because he's had this podcast for years.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but yeah, I did turn you on to this like years ago.
And so it came on my radar because he executive produced a documentary special with Mike Birbiglia that's based on the podcast called Good One, a show about jokes. And it's just a 45-minute thing where Birbiglia talks about the process of creating a new special after he just filmed the previous special.
Well, tell the people what the podcast is about, though.
Yeah, so the podcast itself is a little bit different than that because basically Jesse David Fox brings in a comedian, and the comedian picks a bit typically from a stand-up set, although he has talked to SNL cast members and they pick a certain character.
And these are A-list comics. These are not just up-and-comers.
Yeah, they're all famous people. And so he talks to them and they talk about the inception of the joke, the evolution of
how much of it is real, what's exaggerated about it, where you came up with it,
and
how long you honed it, how much has changed about it.
Yeah.
It's such a deep dive.
For comedy fans.
Oh my God. It's like heroin.
Yeah, this is like, I've been listening to so many episodes. This is like exactly my comedy nerd shit. I love hearing how like certain bits come up.
I kind of wish Ben would have told me about this.
I wish you would have told me a long time ago, but I bring this up because I just recently listened to the Vanessa Bayer episode about Jacob the Bar Mitzvah Boy, which was great to hear about. I've listened to the Will Forte talk about MacGruber. There's one about the Totino's commercial trilogy and whatnot. So he talks to a lot of SNL people. He talks to a lot of stand-up comedians. The one with Vanessa Bayer was really interesting because I didn't realize this when it happened. But so
Vanessa Bayer's not actually a 13-year-old boy.
the sketch they wrote Jacob the Bar Mitzvah Boy with Mulaney and Zach Kanin, co-creator of I Think You Should Leave, and America. What's her last name?
Ferrera.
No, not that one.
The Beautiful.
It's one of the SNL writers' names in America. I'm spacing on her last name, but they were the core writers of Jacob the Bar Mitzvah Boy back when they were on. And then when they left, and they didn't do Jacob the Bar Mitzvah Boy for a couple years, and then they ended up doing it again for Vanessa's final season. And because I didn't know at the time, I didn't understand. Simon Rich was also one of the other writers, and so I didn't realize at the time. But the final appearance of Jacob the Bar Mitzvah Boy, she goes through a thing where like she's thanking like people who are like in her family, but she names Zach and John and America and Simon as people, and like as she's thinking and everything. And so it was a really cool thing that like she actually got to do that on her farewell for that one.
There's somebody who needs to host.
Yeah, absolutely. She hasn't yet. It'd be a lot of fun if she did.
That was another one that I had a crush on when she was on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, I mean that I'm still mad at that.
Her weather meteorologist, Hap. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about where people can find us online. You can go to the10to1.com and find us online.
I'm typically at my computer.
Yeah. That is true. And we're working on getting you internet on that computer.
I like using my Oculus.
That causes too much of a rift.
Oh. Please rate and review us. And
not based on that joke.
This information with all of your friends, including Lauren Michaels. Brad.
Where can people find you film critiquing?
Yeah, where are you writing these critics?
Well, you can find critiques. Me, first of all, on Twitter at Ethan_Anderton, but also
Is that x.com?
Shut the fuck up, Nate. You can also check out my full reviews of new episodes of Saturday Night Live on Sundays, the day after new episodes air, typically in the late morning, early afternoon. No, I'm an entertainment journalist who occasionally reviews
jack
films
of all trades.
And TV. I don't jack off to the trades. So, Nate and Ben also do some bullshit.
Yeah, that's cool. 10to1pod.com where you need to go.
I think it's just the 10to1.com.
Wow, really? you should probably get that right.
GoFlixYourselfPod.com. Yeah, the 10to1.com. Yeah,
we do have another podcast called Go Flix Yourself. Find us online for that as well. Just search us.
I used to say there's a lot more swearing on that show, but Brad has proven.
Yeah, no, Brad's had a little bit of a potty mouth, and we apologize to all the children listening.
Keyword thunderfuck.
Oh, my God. See?
Hey, listeners, I'm so sorry.
Be good to each other.
Be good to yourself. Be good to others. Bye-bye.